season. This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is my friend Stan Krejci. He is the principal of the SK Group. Stan, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you very much. Good to be here, Mark.
Thanks for coming in. I know coming into D.C. can be a bit of a chore, especially when we record pretty early in the morning. Although the show airs at noon, we record these. Let's get a little background before we talk about today's topic, which is putting together a board of advisors pretty much for any company. Stan's background, please.
Mark, I was the CFO for Landmark Systems Corporation, a software development company, for 8 years. Following that, I went into executive search as a result of the firm that had placed me at Landmark, interested in developing a financial management recruiting practice. Was there for 5 years with Boyden and then moved to the McCormick Group, where I was a business developer for all types of searches for the company, did it with a focus on financial placements from my perspective, and then ultimately ran the board of directors practice group for the McCormick Group. I left there 2 years ago to start my own practice because I had a deep and abiding interest in working with individuals in terms of better positioning themselves to for the next opportunity, which then led back to the board world. And so I'm restarted my board of directors practice group.
Okay. Now, when you say a board of directors practice group, we're talking about helping CEOs or C-levels of any sort formulate a board for what type of company?
Generally speaking, my focus is on companies that are in the entrepreneurial development stages, probably generating revenue somewhere between $10 and $15 million, and then on up into the mid-size corporation.
Okay. At what point should a company consider putting together a board of advisors?
The need for a board is universal. They
right.
should have a board. The issue is, can they afford to have a board of directors? And I'm a very big proponent of building boards for companies that can afford to pay a modest retainer to attract highly talented individuals who have walked the walk of the compared to their own individual, the firm. Mm-hmm. And so I tend to think that they have to be able to afford to pay a $15,000 annual retainer. And so that's a company generally in the $10 million plus range to have 3 to 5 board members. Of course, the bigger the company in terms of revenue, the greater the retainer.
Give me a feel for the size of companies that you've seen without boards of advisors, non-public companies, obviously. But how big can they get? How big have you seen them without?
I've seen them as big as $100 million or greater. It's what matter of control that the entrepreneurial founder wants to retain.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes the entrepreneurial founders have difficulty in sharing decision-making and welcoming differing opinions from members sitting around the board of directors table.
So
they like to keep everything tightly controlled.
So they start this thing up, they still have control. They've got a group of executives within the company who run little fiefdoms within. But major control retains within one, and we both know the I know everything syndrome from the person who started the company.
That's right, and I think ultimately that's a limiting approach, because as you grow, you need to surround yourself with individuals who are not sycophants, i.e., your employees are rarely going to tell you the complete and honest truth. In
the
terms
emperor
of,
always wears clothes. Yes.
That's right. That's right. And so the introduction, and I always believe in starting companies first with an advisory board of directors, because it's non-threatening. Number one, number two, there are no fiduciary or voting requirements imposed on the entrepreneurial founder. So it's truly advice that they bring. I'm a very big believer in the advisory board being a board that is run like a voting board of directors, and not as just purely a business development group of people gathered together. The focus, from my perspective, has got to be corporate governance. And if you go back to the history and the evolution of boards, I think the seminal moment was with the in the post-Enron world.
Right.
And you can see the dramatic change in the power of and importance of boards and board governance following Enron. And then that was reemphasized in the MCI WorldCom debacle, that no longer are boards composed of family and friends, but they're composed of independent individuals who bring expertise in areas of need for the company.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the areas of need. Yeah, let's go ahead right now then.
Well, I think that one of the beauties of building an advisory board of directors for an entrepreneurial founder is that the entrepreneurial founder can, with the guidance that I provide them, do a needs assessment in terms of determining what types of skill sets that they may be missing that are preventing them from taking that next important strategic growth step. So with an advisory board of directors, I like to identify what those weaknesses are. I call it a needs assessment. And we look at the areas that, for example, they may need somebody with strong financial management skills who could ultimately serve, even an advisory board, I like to have committees, but on the audit committee. Mm-hmm. Somebody with strong technology skills, somebody conceivably with strong marketing communication skills, somebody with leadership skills, somebody with entree into the private or public equity marketplace. So we do a very in-depth analysis of what those needs might be. Generally, the staff is right for the size of the business, but what an advisory board does is help the entrepreneurial founder see beyond today and into tomorrow, the next 5, 10, 20 years. And they're going to need individuals who have experienced that corporate growth. For example, they're $20 million now. They want to be $100 million. Well, I don't put anybody on the board that has not had experience in building a business to in excess of $100 million a year in revenue, so that they can work with the CEO and point out areas where they could more efficiently and effectively move forward.
Cool. My guest today is Stan Krejci. Stan is the principal of the SK Group. They advise companies on putting together boards. When we come back, we're going to pursue the types of boards that Stan helps build. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
This week on Agency of the Month featuring the GSA is brought to you by Commercial Data Systems.
Julie Blanford is with the Employee Relocation Resource Center at GSA.
More relocations are being turned down. More relocations are starting and then failing. And agencies are struggling with how to fill positions and service requirements. I mean, they're not in the job of moving people. They all have other jobs that these people are supposed to be doing. So their job is just to get the people there to do them.
I'm Ruben Gomez.
Commercial Data Systems is a small disadvantaged information technology systems integrator specializing in virtualization, cross-domain security, and database operations. With more than 25 years of contracting experience, CDS understands how to ease the procurement process for government clients. CDS offers GSA schedule purchasing with over 200,000 commercial off-the-shelf IT products, including a blanket purchase agreement for your Oracle hardware and software needs. To learn more, visit cdsinc.com. That's cdsinc.com.
The FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com takes a look at the issues surrounding cloud computing through the eyes of those who are using it every day. We'll share with you the challenges, opportunities, and lessons learned from some of the top minds in the world of federal IT. Collaborate with others and help shape the discussion on cloud computing at the FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com or follow the FedCloud blog on Twitter. The FedCloud blog is sponsored by Cisco and Intel.
The underlying battle is trying to lay out the framework for how we're going to deliver services over the internet without saturating the backbone, and do it in a way that you don't censor the internet, which is what net neutrality is getting at, but simply try to moderate bandwidth in a way which is fair.
Stay up to date with technology. It's Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Not just meant to be. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. A scientific review finds Hispanic women are more likely to think of cancer fatalistically as something that was just meant to be for them. And researchers say this means the women are less likely to seek out screening tests. The researchers say 7 of the 11 studies they reviewed found that as fatalism went up, the likelihood of being screened went down. At San Diego State University, researcher Carla Espinosa de los Monteros.
Early detection can significantly increase your chance of cancer survivorship, so I would encourage all women to talk to their doctors about the risk for cancer and to ask to be screened if appropriate.
The study in the International Journal of Behavioral Medicine was supported by the National Institutes of Health. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
Looking for usable news and information that helps you do your job? Tune in to In Depth with Francis Rose every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Francis explores the relationship between agencies and Congress by taking you to the hearing rooms on Capitol Hill and asking questions of federal decision makers and experts. You'll get a firsthand look at how Congress affects your agency's personnel, funding, and oversight. In Depth also looks at the relationship between agencies and contractors, companies that do billions of dollars of business with the federal government, talk about the work they're doing for agencies, the work they're bidding on, and the work they didn't get. And In Depth will help you be a better manager. Francis talks to authors, scholars, and managerial experts about managing projects, managing your workforce, and managing yourself. In Depth with Francis Rose, every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest is Stan Krejci of the SK Group. Stan, we met at the Tower Club, and we've probably seen each other there on and off for at least 15 or so years, because we've both been there forever and a day. We're both there because that's where the CEOs hang in D.C.,
I've been a member of the Tower Club since its founding and was the chair of that board for 8 years, and I'm still a member of the board. One of the themes that we came up with when my predecessor, Carrington Williams, was a theme called the Tower Club is the center of gravity for the Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C. area. It's a convenient place to go, but it is a place where the movers and shakers in the Northern Virginia region in particular meet, and it's a wonderful opportunity to meet and greet and to get to know the new people who are coming into town.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a good source for me.
Yeah,
in terms
exactly.
Of
well,
high,
for both of us, you know.
Yes.
Ardell Fleeson recruited me for over a year. I joined in 94, 95, so you beat me by about 6 years. But, you know, I don't use it much because I live in Central Maryland. I live in Howard County. And I was on the board, but I actually left the board voluntarily because I'm in Virginia much less at present. That may change. We'll see. I'm actually trying to get, you know, the Howard County executive to start a tower club in Central Maryland, preferably, you know, like within 20 minutes of my home.
Well, I'm there almost every day.
Yeah.
Because I find it's very convenient to meet clients there. And
everybody knows where it is.
Everybody knows where it is. And it's an excellent facility and good food.
Yeah, great food. You never go in there and not see people you don't know or people you need to meet.
You have an enormous difficulty when you're sitting at the table of having the wandering eye syndrome because you want to see who's coming in.
Exactly. That's why I always sat in the back left in the dining room so I could see everybody coming in. And if they wanted to see me, they had to walk all the way back.
Right.
But you know, the reason I brought that up is because we were both on the board. That's really where we started chatting more frequently. Then I ran across you over at a university in Northern Virginia, and I said, you know, I should have you on the show. Because boards for companies in the public sector arena are, I think, absolutely critical. I've had personal advisors. I've had my business for 26 years now. I've had personal advisors for 20 of those 26 years. Adds a perspective that I really don't, you know, get without them. So, go ahead.
I completely agree with you, Mark. Yesterday, I was giving a talk to a group of 8 executives about the value of boards, board service, and boards of directors. And there are two sides of the equation. There are highly talented corporate executives in this town who would like to be on boards of directors and have no idea how to market or promote themselves for board service. Great talent, great expertise, great experiences, both successes and some disappointments along the way that would be of enormous value to a corporation. It's a good feeling to be able to serve on a corporate board if you're an individual. And that feeling translates into the sharing of expertise and experiences that can help a entrepreneurial founder get to his or her next growth point much more cost effectively, much more quickly, with less time and energy spent in problem resolution or research for the right answer or the right move that they need to make.
Okay. Types of boards. I mean, we mapped out a few questions here, and I'd briefly like you to talk about the types of boards that are out there, because when you're the CEO of a company, I think it's also incumbent upon you, if your company's successful, to give back to the community. So
I couldn't agree with you more. Let's just talk about the types of boards. I look at what I want to call the non-corporate boards first, which would be the nonprofits / charitable boards, where you serve purely because you believe in the organization and you want to give back to that particular organization through leadership and experience expertise. Also in the nonprofit, but the possibility of being reimbursed for expenses, are association boards of directors. Principally, association boards are made up of member representatives that have been elected either by the board or appointed by the paid professionals of that association. And then there's the whole foundation world, which are highly sought after boards, and they also generally compensate those board members for foundation work. When you move into the corporate side, there's obviously the public corporations,
right.
They're required to have boards of directors, and those are voting boards of directors, and there's enormous fiduciary and governance responsibilities associated with board service. Private companies can go either way. They can be have an advisory board, or they can have a voting board. It depends upon the comfort and confidence that the entrepreneurial founder has in dealing with other individuals in giving him or her input as to decisions that need to be made. I do want to emphasize one point, is that individuals who serve on corporate boards, and people would be surprised at those who want to serve. You can generally find highly talented, experienced individuals who, for very minimal retainer, are just eager to help another company achieve some of the successes that they've experienced themselves. Mm-hmm. One of the disappointing misconceptions about advisory boards is the element that they are really for business development. Most board members are not interested in serving on boards where their focus is just solely business development.
Opening doors.
They don't mind opening doors, and they don't mind going out on calls, but the focus is not to bring in the next big contract.
Okay.
The focus is still governance. They're vitally interested in the issues of governance. And the side benefit is for those who want to and enjoy business development, door opening, introductions, et cetera. But it's still the in-house sales team and capture managers that are responsible for business development.
Well, let's talk about the governance issues then. When you say the governance of the company, what exactly do we mean?
The whole issue of corporate governance, as I mentioned before, is really is sort of the legal business side of the corporation. There are requirements that are, if you're publicly traded, that are obviously imposed by mm-hmm. the government and various state jurisdictions that have to be complied with. And the board is there to ensure that those things happen. Yes, you have an outside audit accounting firm, you have an outside legal counsel, but you still have a lot of issues associated with corporate governance. Those issues are financial. There are issues that are what I call strategic planning issues. There are human capital issues, whether it's the right plan, the right retention tools. Do we give stock? Do we have phantom stock? All of those things need to be assessed, and it's good to have independent advisors giving you their thoughts and ideas related to it, and or directing you to the experts outside of the company who can help you solve that problem and keep your focus on developing the business and making sure that as you develop that business, you're doing everything as ethically as you possibly can so that you can avoid any potential litigation either from the government, state and federal, or from a litigious a stakeholder.
Okay. Now, so largely we're talking about infrastructure issues here.
Yes.
Okay.
A good example would be you've got you're growing and your CFO isn't growing with you. How do we make that change without disrupting the company? Where do we go? How do we look for the next person who has the ability to have the company grow into his expertise versus the individual growing into the company's
at a certain point, a comptroller whose comfort zone is the $20 to $25 million company, their skills may not be expandable to the
correct
40-50.
Nothing wrong with their talent.
Right.
They're just not, the scope is greater than the experiences that they've had. They need to move to be a controller under a CFO in a company maybe twice as big as the one that they were working for. Then they can turn around and become the CFO, for example. But you have individuals on the finance and or audit committee who have been through this, they understand it, they can help you manage it and prepare for it without disrupting the flow of the business, let alone the accountability of the organization.
Great. My guest today is Stan Krejci of the SK Group. When we come back, we're going to pursue how companies actually put together the boards. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife.
My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
HalfPriceDC.com. Half-price gift certificates to the area's best restaurants, spas, and more.
This week, buy half-price gift certificates to Smoothie King. Receive a free small smoothie with any $25 gift card purchase in stores this holiday season. A great way to make it a healthy holiday.
The Chicken Place in Fair Oaks Mall, serving the authentic and bold taste of a la brasa chicken. And Sheer Shack Salon and Spa in Alexandria. Experienced stylists combine your input with their expertise.
See all the offers at HalfPriceDC.com.
Celebrate the holidays with Caps Holiday Packs. Caps Holiday Packs include a ticket to an exciting Caps game, a limited edition Alex Ovechkin bobblehead doll wearing the Winter Classic uniform, a Caps hat, and much more. Packages start at only $89 and are moving fast. To get yours, log on to WashingtonCaps.com/holidaypacks. Text CAPSTICKS to 43803. Or call 202-266-CAPS now and do your part in building America's hockey capital.
Profile America, Monday, November 29th. Newspaper headlines in Chicago on this date in 1895 told of the nation's first automobile race the day before, among vehicles which still looked like horse-drawn buggies. Six of what were then called motorcycles left Jackson Park in the morning for a 54-mile run to Evanston, Illinois, and back through the snow. Inventor Frank Duryea won the race at an average speed of 7.5 miles an hour. By 1911, the first Indianapolis 500 was held. That year, increasing interest led to sales of 211,000 cars, trucks, and buses. But horses still outnumbered cars by a margin of 33-1. Now there are almost 248 million registered motor vehicles in the U.S. Profile America is in its 14th year as a public service of the U.S. Census Bureau.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest is Stan Krejci. Stan is the principal of the Krejci Group. The Krejci Group helps companies build boards. So let's get into the types of people that you look for experientially, et cetera.
Well, let's take a step back first, Mark. Let's just talk about how we get there.
Okay.
Before we bring the people on board. One of the things that makes entrepreneurial founders somewhat reluctant to build the board is the complexity associated with board management ultimately, and the management of those relationships of board members. Not with the CEO and with the staff. So one of the first things that I feel is vitally important is to sort of establish the role of a board on behalf of the corporation. What does the CEO envision the board doing for him or her and for the company in terms of giving it the kind of guidance that they need to feel comfortable and confident about moving to the next step? So one of the things after we talk about the ideal board is to talk about the needs, as I mentioned earlier in the conversation, what seats need to be filled. So let's say a entrepreneurial company that's in the $10 to $15 million range is going to probably have a small board of 3 to 5 board members plus one insider, which would be the entrepreneurial founder. We want to identify what those 3 to 5 seats are. Once we've come to grips with that, then we can put together, and in my case, I will make recommendations for each seat. I generally like to surface between 4 and 6 candidates per each seat, so that the entrepreneurial founder can narrow that field down on a per-seat basis from 6 to 3 to 2. Mm-hmm. And that they then will interview not less than 2 candidates per seat. And they'll really spend some quality time interviewing those people. On paper, they're going to look terrific. They're going to be the kind of an individual who, from my perspective, I think can fill that seat. But ultimately, the decision is made by the founder, the entrepreneurial founder, the board chair, the nominating committee. They're going to look for individuals who will fit within the organizational structure. Will they fit with the CEO? Will they fit with even the other board members that they're going to be recruiting? So we look for an individual, let's just take the financial management seat, somebody who comes from a company that is generally, I believe, 2 to 5 times bigger than the existing company, mm-hmm. has walked that walk, is...
Was there during the growth process.
Exactly. Has done it before him or herself.
Okay.
Now, one of the interesting things is I have some very strong feelings about who shouldn't be on boards. And I think that the Enron world has really emphasized 2 categories of individuals who should not serve on boards. And one is family, any family member, and then 2, friends. And the reason for that is that the opportunity of those individuals to give you unbiased, unfettered advice diminishes as the relationship is intensified. Mm-hmm. So I like to, I also don't think you need to bring have a lawyer or an accountant on your board, because you already are paying for legal services, you're already paying for accounting firm services, and you can always invite those people to the board. So actually, that's sort of an augmentation to those seats, but you're not taking up a valuable seat with somebody you already know, somebody who's already on retainer or contract for your firm. And then I tend to limit military and academicians based on the type of company. So you don't want to have 3 retired admirals or generals. You might want to have 1 who has entree into the environment, let's say the DOD or whatever that a company might be looking for.
Do you remember Jay Nussbaum when he ran Oracle?
Yes.
Rather than put him on the board, he hired them.
You can do that.
Yeah.
And some people do that.
Yeah.
There's sort of a little program that I have called the civilianization of the military, where you take their military expertise, their skills, and their values, and try to relate those to the corporate world, mm-hmm. because they have those same skills. They have those same, the terminology is different. But the value proposition that they bring is what we're looking for everybody. And so my preference is entrepreneurial founders or senior execs. A lot of companies like to make their senior execs available for board service to entrepreneurial business, i.e. the senior VP or their chief operating officer, to give them some expertise in outside board exposure.
What size companies would do that? So, I mean, were we talking like SI International prior to the Serco? Would Brad have made his...
Could have, yes. Okay. Yes, but it would be, you know, a company that's got a huge team of senior execs that they're grooming.
A couple hundred million easily.
Right, at minimum. Yeah. And that they're grooming these people for... possible succession, bigger roles within the company, or and this exposure gives them an interesting insight into how other businesses are run. It pulls them out of their company's way of operating to see a get a different perspective.
Okay.
So those people become very valuable and give great insight and help to that entrepreneurial first board experience company.
Well, oftentimes we see companies continually hiring from without and not having given exposure to people like that. And from my perspective, that's a very poor way to manage.
Yeah, one of the things that's interesting is the there are fewer insiders who serve on boards. In the old days, there could be two or three insiders. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, it's one or two today insiders. All the rest are independent outsiders. And in today's world, it's interesting. Corporations, when I was running the practice group, prefer to now hire an outside search firm, for example, to surface candidates who they may know of but have never met or they don't know, so that they could say that if there were ever a litigation issue, that these board members were unknown to them until presented by an independent source. So that degree of independence remains strong. They can't say that the CEO, that they're beholden just to the CEO, okay, that they're not going to rubber stamp his or her direction, guidance, policies, procedures.
Gotcha. My guest today is Stan Krejci, principal of the SK Group. When we come back, we're going to talk about how individuals are really selected and how long they serve, board compensation, and we'll be wrapping up on how to build a board. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Hey, Lisa, how's it going?
Good, thanks. Just getting ready for the holidays.
Same here. You headed out of town?
Yeah.
Let me ask you, do you worry about the house?
No, not since we got home monitoring from Ackerman Security Systems.
Ackerman?
That's right. Not only is it one of the largest security companies in the country with more than 40 years' experience, but get this, when you switch to Ackerman, you pay just $18.95 a month.
$18.95. What's the catch?
No catch. There's also no cost to switch, and you can use your existing equipment. With Ackerman, we know the house is safe, even if the neighborhood is cleared out for the holidays.
Whether you want a new system with the latest technology or you want to switch to reliable monitoring for just $18.95 a month, call 1-888-999-1070. That's 1-888-999-1070. Or visit AckermanSecurity.com. Join the more than 180,000 people who enjoy peace of mind with Ackerman. And as an added bonus for federal employees, when you make the switch, the first 4 months of your home monitoring service are free.
40 kilometers northwest of Kandahar, Afghanistan, at a remote desert military base, American soldiers are playing video games. There are cold drinks, snacks, comfy chairs, and an internet connection. It's the USO To Go program, and it's just one of the ways the USO supports our troops, lifts their spirits, and serves as a link with the American people. Find out how you can help. Visit us at USO.org. The USO, until everyone comes home.
Good news for the uninsured and the insured. U.S. Healthy People 2020 Network is now offering annual health physical to the public. Members receive comprehensive health assessments for hypertension, thyroid, kidney, osteoporosis, diabetes, cholesterol, heart screening, and more till the year 2020. Find out your risks for heart attack or stroke. Take the extra step you and your family need to stay healthy till 2020 and beyond. Call 301-386-2223 or visit ushealthypeople2020.org for details. Sponsored by Prevent First, a nonprofit health organization.
Connect with more than 800 fellow contract management professionals. The Government Contract Management Conference is a must attend on December 9th and 10th. The National Contract Management Association presents more than 20 educational sessions to answer the most complex questions, plus prominent speakers from CACI, the Department of Defense, the Boeing Company, and more. To learn more, visit ncmahq.org today.
Wake up and drive in with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris on the Federal Drive. It's your early line on the day ahead from your trusted advisors. Tom and Amy give you a full view of the issues. Find out what your colleagues in other agencies are up to and what policy and congressional developments mean to you. The Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest is my friend Stan Krejci. Stan is the principal of the Krejci Group, and Stan puts together boards. Let's talk about boards. He advises entrepreneurs on how to properly build a board. So in order to attract the better talent, what are the compensation issues here?
Well, let me reemphasize that to attract highly talented individuals today, because there is still some risk involved even in serving on an advisory board, there are a number of what I call housekeeping things that have to be agreed to before we begin the process of selection. One, as I mentioned, we determine the seat. Number two, we determine what kinds of information we're going to give to potential candidates. And they're going to be interested in the following things. They're going to be interested in a duties and responsibilities document which the founder or the chair and I create, so that they understand what is expected of them in terms of board service. The founder and I need to determine the compensation. And compensation is a critical issue, because talented people have limited amounts of time. And today, board service is not just going to 4 to 6 board meetings a year and the strategic retreat, but it's serving on committees, whether it's advisory or voting, it is talking to the CEO, it's doing your homework, being involved, being prepared, being on call. So there is, in my estimation, there is a minimum fee that has to be paid as a retainer, and that's probably $10,000. The ideal spot is somewhere between 15 and 20 for entrepreneurial firms. And, of course, as the company grows, so does the base compensation of the retainer, as well as deferred comp and bonus opportunities and health. It can go grow as the business grows. But there still needs to be some compensation that they can see and touch and feel for the services that they render. Therefore, you've made an investment in those individuals. You're going to utilize them as the CEO. The individual who's getting paid is going to feel obligated to give you quality service. There's a stock element sometimes, whether it's options or direct grants or phantom stock. But those incentives are there to keep and retain the people once we find them. So we also will put together a package. They will sign a confidentiality agreement. They'll see the latest audited financial returns. They'll know who the audit firm is, the audit partner. The individual is going to want to know who the law firm is, who the lawyer representing that firm is. They're going to want to see the D&O policy. They're going to want to know who the local carrier is, who the corporate the big underwriter is of that D&O policy. All of those things need to be put together first. And then we begin the process of searching for those individuals. And as I say, once we've identified the seats, once we have all the tools in place, it's relatively simple for someone like me, who's been in town for 40 years and knows the people, to pick up the phone and say, I have an interesting board opportunity. And I will tell you that all of those calls are taken by either the administrative assistant says, yes, they're going to be interested in getting back to you.
Right.
So people are flattered to be asked.
I've served on boards for associations.
I've served on boards for trade events and a couple of times for software startups. Usually it's a non-compensation, it's an exposure thing. For the trade shows, most definitely the exposure and meeting other key people in the market. For the associations, pretty much the same thing, but it's a giving back kind of situation. But for the software startups, my compensation was in the form of stock options, which turned out to be quite lucrative. So anybody out there looking for one, I'll certainly entertain the option.
I think that's part of the mix today. Yeah. I think the cash, even interestingly enough, with just giving stock options and no cash, you just don't have, and I base this on now 10 years of doing this, you just don't have the glue, the attraction, the attachment, the sense of investment. Mm-hmm. I mean, those shares are there, but it's not real hard-earned cash that you're paying somebody to give you quality advice. And by the way, you get a highly talented individual for a $15,000, $20,000 fee. You can't buy a consultant for that for a month in this day and age.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, they wanted my consulting, which is why they offered me the options, but the software was in an extremely hot area, and I had experience with the owner previously, so.
Well, that is the beauty of that offer, Mark, is that it was put into your lap, and you had the opportunity to make the decision.
Right.
And every candidate has that go, no-go situation. Is this the right opportunity for me? Am I going to enjoy this experience? Am I going to be able to make the contribution to the company that they're looking for? And that then you have the ultimate decision. Is the compensation package correct or not?
Yeah. And so in this instance, you know, my expertise is marketing, so I have a very, very limited appeal for most companies. But they one of their segments targeted was government market, so there was a play. But the individual selected for the board, your personal criteria for after you've met with an owner, you understand a little bit about the corporate culture and the disposition of the owner, which has to come into play. Give me a few factors for the individuals you select then.
We put together basically a seat description. So we know what I want to call the hard facts are that we're the key criteria that we're looking for. It's the soft side that you mentioned that's vitally important. So it's finding an individual who, for example, I can say to them, it's a financial management seat. They're looking for this kind of expertise. And I verify whether they have that expertise, the public marketplace, have they interfaced with Wall Street, whatever it happens to be. They think they're going to go public or they want to do this or whatever. The criteria has to be carefully matched with the individual. But then it is sitting down and saying, you know, by the way, this is still the stock is totally controlled at the moment 100% by the entrepreneurial founder. There are family members employed. Are you comfortable with this environment? And they'll say, yeah, I've walked that walk before. I understand.
Yeah, people who haven't played in a family business before.
It's very, very, you know, blood is thicker than water in that case. So those are those soft issues have to be very, very clearly addressed, because the critical thing out of all of this is to assemble an advisory or voting board of directors that's collegial, that can interact amongst the board members themselves and with the one or two insiders, so that it's a collegial team, because a disruptive board brings you nothing. It holds you back rather than pushes you forward. It denies you the comfort and the confidence that you're looking for in building a board. A wonderful, wonderful value is that when you say, I want to buy this business, they can say, that's a good, you've done your homework, Mr. CEO. that looks like a great investment, and the exponential returns of amalgamating those businesses together is going to be enormous. Or they can say, I think this is a dangerous situation. And I've heard board members tell me that. And I've heard entrepreneurial founders say they were so irritated that their board told them no, not to do this, but in retrospect, so glad that they did, because they could have brought down the base company with the acquisition that they were contemplating.
Yeah.
Then they went on with greater confidence to do the kind of mergers and acquisition activities that they needed to push them to the next strategic growth level.
Cool. Stan, I really appreciate you coming by today. Great information. We'll have to revisit this issue as our market becomes even more interesting.
There's never a dull moment, Mark.
There's never
a dull moment. In the corporate boardroom.
especially in light of recent events, but we're not going there. You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest again has been Stan Krejci of the SK Group. Website?
www.theskgroupllc.com.
There you go. This is not my day job. If you sell products to the government, look at attending our 7th Annual Summit on Selling Products to the Government, November 9th. Full details are at federaldirect.net. Click on the big yellow star. And remember, you have not been everywhere until you've been off-center with AmTower.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
As you travel home after the long holiday weekend, keep in mind that the way you drive can actually have an effect on the environment. Thousands have logged every car trip they make, so Deb Niemeyer, a University of California engineer, can combine their travel habits with vehicle data to see
how people's driving behavior connects with the pollution their cars actually produce.
She says it affects smog levels, even global warming.
Absolutely. High speeds and low speeds and very aggressive driving all increase your tailpipe emissions.
Niemeyer says you should aim for steady speeds between 30 and 50 miles an hour. Her work is also inspiring new traffic and car engineering.
All these things combine together to really make a difference.
To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. That's www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hey, Lisa, how's it going?
Good, thanks. Just getting ready for the holidays.
Same here. You headed out of town?
Yeah.
Let me ask you, do you worry about the house?
No, not since we got home monitoring from Ackerman Security Systems.
Ackerman?
That's right. Not only is it one of the largest security companies in the country with more than 40 years' experience, but get this, when you switch to Ackerman, you pay just $18.95 a month.
$18.95. What's the catch?
No catch. There's also no cost to switch, and you can use your existing equipment. With Ackerman, we know the house is safe, even if the neighborhood is cleared out for the holidays.
Whether you want a new system with the latest technology or you want to switch to reliable monitoring for just $18.95 a month, call 1-888-999-1070. That's 1-888-999-1070. Or visit AckermanSecurity.com. Join the more than 180,000 people who enjoy peace of mind with Ackerman. And as an added bonus for federal employees, when you make the switch, the first 4 months of your home monitoring service are free.
I'm Beyonce with an important message about hunger in America. Did you know 1 in 8 people struggle with hunger? Over 12 million children live in homes where there isn't always enough food. Food banks are experiencing more demand than ever. Show Your Helping Hand is a nationwide campaign with the goal of helping Feeding America deliver millions of meals to local food banks. Please join me in showing a helping hand to fight hunger. More information is available at showyourhelpinghand.com.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
Job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview.
Yeah.
And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland D.C.